Real quick, before we get into the show, I wanted to share a new service called Getida that Ken and I have been using that has made us over $10,000 in Amazon reimbursements. The service requires no monthly subscription, and Getida collects a small percentage of the money they recover for you. It takes less than 5 minutes to set up and works on all Amazon marketplaces. Go to Getida.com, G-E-T-I-D-A, and enter promo code FTM400. That's FTM for firing the man 400 to get your first $400 in reimbursements commission free. How much money does Amazon owe you?
Packaging is so important because if you have a good idea, you have to have the packaging to go along with it. People are incentivized to fill up a carrier of 6 bottles, whether it be wine or liquor or whatever the case might be, and they find that it works. And to say that there was some questioning at the beginning, some, I don't know about this kind of thing, we just kept inching up the store count of stores that was using these wine carriers, and it really has just grown phenomenally. Local is best, but it's not impossible. We're not afraid to put samples in the mail, UPS, and to make sure that it's the right item. But I far and away prefer the local perspective. But as I said, we have customers across the country, and we'll do whatever it takes to make it work.
Welcome, everyone, to the Firing the Man podcast, a show for anyone who wants to be their own boss. If you sit in a cubicle every day and know you are capable of more, then join us. This show will help you build a business and grow your passive income streams in just a few short hours per day. And now your hosts, serial entrepreneurs David Schomer and Ken Wilson.
Welcome, everyone, to the Firing the Man podcast. On today's episode, we are joined by Tom Meyer from Shillington Box. To kick off the episode, I'm going to share a story about Tom. In 2021, we had a strategic initiative to do a better job with product packaging. I was looking for a local box manufacturer and found Shillington Box through a Google search. When I called, I was introduced to Tom Meyer. Tom offered to drive 40 miles to come and meet me at our factory and learn more about our business. He spent about an hour with us, learning about our brands, products, and what goals we were trying to accomplish. I was blown away with the attention that he showed us and had a great first impression. During Tom's first visit, I had mentioned that I was looking for a leather manufacturer. About a week later, Tom called me and said that he had found a leather manufacturer in northern Missouri that may be a good fit. He made an introduction. We are now in the beginning stages of working with this manufacturer. Again, I was very impressed with Tom going out of his way to help our business. Next, Tom introduced us to a graphic designer named Greg. Greg is an absolute professional and helped us design a box that exceeded our expectations. He brought things to light that we had not thought about, including certain colors and how they can evoke certain moods and reactions. Greg added value at each step of the editing process and was a joy to work with. After about 2 months of starting this process, we had 10,000 beautiful boxes show up at our manufacturing facility, again exceeding our expectations. At every step of the process, Tom was an absolute professional, and we felt like he was part of our team, helping us achieve our goals. In my 7 years of being in business, this has been the single best relationship that I've formed with a supplier. So much so that I begged Tom to join us on the podcast today. So it is my pleasure to introduce Tom Meyer. Welcome to the podcast, Tom.
Greeting. Good morning to you.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, really looking forward to this. As I mentioned, we've had great experience working with you and want to learn a little bit more about you. So let's start with a little bit about your background and what led you to the packaging industry.
Sounds good. So I had a 30-year career at Campbell Soup Company that ended back in about 2011. I was kind of thrown out on the street, didn't have a job, wasn't ready to retire yet. And so I moved to St. Louis for a short-term gig, and that kind of fell apart. And then I started interviewing once again, and I came upon Shillington Box. And I had worked with a resume writer who worked formerly with AB, and he polished my resume, and he sent me, a kind of after a lot of hard work, a good resume. I did the work, but he told me how to do it. And I sent it to Shillington Box, and instantly they were impressed with the flow of the resume. And my boss said, your resume just reached out and grabbed me. And so it was within about 3 days, 2 days, I had a job offer. And the next week or so, I was ready to get to work at Shillington Box. So it had been kind of a period of turmoil. And to settle into one company that I knew I could be at till the day I retired was just very refreshing. I loved the team at Shillington. Everybody works hard. They're fun. And we're all focused on doing the right thing, not only for our customers, but for each other. And I just kind of like the attitude.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I am excited to get into this. And now to our listeners, the focus of this podcast is going to be on product packaging, which is an area where I think a lot of e-commerce sellers can step up our game. But before we dive into that, I want to ask you about kind of your unique approach to forming relationships and helping businesses. In the time of Zoom meetings, you showed up and shook my hand and you toured our factory, and that like really made an impact. And so have you always done this? And like, why did you go out of your way to introduce me to that supplier?
Great question. With regards to relationships, I realize that I'm just another sales rep out there competing against many other folks. And in packaging, a lot of it is commodity driven, price driven. And I'm not going to be successful unless I bring some value to the table. In my earlier career at Campbell's, I had a really rural territory, but I showed up in very, pardon the expression, godforsaken places like northern Missouri and deep in the Ozarks. And these people knew me and counted on me to show up. The same thing kind of happens in packaging. If I show up, make an impression, and understand the folks' business, I think it's going to work well. And we're going to have something that's going to last over a very long period of time. And it's just about starting with one item, usually, and then kind of expanding the business and then going from one item to five items to 25 items. And so I delight in making personal relationships with people. I delight in showing up on their door and understanding what they're needing. And then I'm better able to respond. I have done my share of Zoom meetings and Teams meeting over the last 2 years. It's been at times kind of rough being a sales rep and making those personal contacts. But where I can and where people will allow me in the door, I think that I can bring value to the table. And I think I can maybe, even if I don't have the lowest price, I can add enough to the relationship where people will call me back and say, okay, you're not the cheapest, but I think that your company and what you bring to the table is helpful. Let's roll.
Yeah, no, I have really noticed that adding value piece, going out of your way to introduce me to that manufacturer, that I have never had that before. I was almost taken back in a good way. And I, as we all think about how can we do better at business, it is a relationship game, right? And you added tremendous value. And now whenever people ask me, who do you use for packaging, I point them to you, and it's kind of that exchange of value. And so now I wanted to touch on that a little bit because it was very unique. It was very unique and very special. So let's turn the corner and talk about packaging. And before we dive deep here, let's talk about some industry terms that we may use throughout the podcast. So can you walk me through, say, like corrugated, chipboard, some of these other common types of packaging?
Sounds good. So the corrugated is first and foremost the area I focus on. My manufacturing pieces or background with Shillington Box focuses on brown box corrugated. We can go 1, 2, 3 colors, 4 colors, depending on the item there on corrugated. So that's basic brown box. To a lesser extent, I work on folding cartons, and to a lesser extent, triple wall boxes, which is used in like heavy industrial uses. And then last but not least, where somebody wants the strength of corrugated, but wants the beauty and the packaging of for color processing, we do litho-laminated, where we are laminating a label to a corrugated box. So you essentially have a brown box on the inside and the beauty of a label on the outside. But the number one thing that I really work on is really corrugated, and that needs to always continue to be my focus.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, let's talk about you mentioned three color and four color, and this was something that I learned as we were going through this process. So a little background on the packaging that we selected. We went out and found a full color picture that we were going to put on the front of the box. And when I heard three color, I was thinking to myself, oh no, we need one shade of blue, one shade of red, limited to actually three colors. And what I found was that was not the case. It's kind of what combination of colors can you use? So can you talk a little bit about that?
I can. Yes, I can. So when it comes to corrugated, you have what they call in the industry a flexo printing job. You can go one, two, three, four colors. Generally use the concept of what they call my colors or Pantone colors to select your color for the box. When it comes to like folding cartons and things like that, you're really working on CMYK, that industry standard of the four different colors to select your coloring for your boxes. And taking that a step further, it becomes kind of almost a dizzying amount of choices for a person to pick. But if you're trying to brand yourself, you're going to be very specific with the colors that you choose for yourself. And you're going to want to print that same print every single time so that when a customer sees your box, they understand that's from company X and it's building a brand image.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, let's also talk about why is packaging so important in the physical products business?
Packaging is so important because if you have a good idea, you have to have the packaging to go along with it. The packaging can identify your product. It can have a lot of necessary information on there, and it can build a brand image for somebody looking for that item down the road. And what I see with some of my corporate customers is that they are very specific on their printing and their requirements for packaging. And the reason that they're very particular is because they want you to remember that print, that coloring, that schematic as what you think of when you're looking to buy that time and time again.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We were talking a little bit before the podcast, and I actually paused you and said, this is gold. Let's save this for the podcast. I have found in our own business that sometimes packaging can be an afterthought. We spend a tremendous amount of time on product development, and then we need to find packaging. And I don't think that is the way to go about it. And so in your experience, at what point should somebody start to think about product packaging?
At some point let's say you have a launch date of 6 months from now, I think one of the things that you should at least consider is to get your idea turned from conceptualized into a live sample. And if you're not starting, let's just say your rollout date is 6 months from now, if you're not starting at the 3 month date, you're going to be left behind. Because so often I've witnessed where somebody says, and they get all excited. They say, oh, I'm on Amazon and they're going to start taking orders in mid-July. But they don't have one bit of packaging done. And it's a problem because then the expectations are that we're going to have a box for them within 2 weeks or 3 weeks. And it doesn't ever work that way. And with long lead times in the packaging industry, and they're getting slightly better lately, but we have seen lead times of 6 to 8 to 12 weeks from the time the order is entered to the time the product is shipped. So if you factor in long lead times, factor in a lot of decision making on what is the right packaging for your product, if you're not starting it at way out in front, you're going to be left behind when the time comes to be producing your box. And so, for instance, kind of putting this in kind of more relative terms, if you decided that you wanted to roll this item out for Christmas, whatever your item might be, if you don't have the packaging signed, sealed, and delivered by probably June or July, you're going to miss the season. And I tell you, I've seen it once. I've seen it five times. People say, I am ready to roll out for Christmas. They're not ready to roll out for Christmas because they have essentially come right up until October 15th and said, oh, now I need packaging. Now, how do I get this packaging out and the product shipped? And we all know about long lead times, and the Christmas season essentially starts sometime in around Labor Day if you're producing a product, because you better have it. You better have it, everything ready to go.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Two points I want to add to that. If you think of yourself as your customers, that packaging is the first thing that they are seeing. And if you're selling on Amazon, you want 5-star reviews, and it all starts with a good first impression. And so when someone shows up and they see very solid product packaging, that is a step towards getting that 5-star review, which is what we're all after. The second thing, and this would be specific to Amazon sellers, the terms of service require you to use, for your hero image, right, that main image, they require you to use an all-white background and only have your product. You can't have any infomercials. You can't have any. It just has to be your raw product. Now, they do allow you to include your packaging in that photo. And so what we did is, on the face of our packaging, we included a lot of information about the brand. And that, in terms of conversion rate, has really helped with our conversion rate. And we've split tested these images where we have product packaging in that photo and product packaging not in that photo. And so this is, I think it's just good business hygiene. And it's all part of having a complete physical products business. Sorry to interrupt the episode. You may have heard Ken and I talking recently about a new tool that we're using for Amazon refunds. Now, I have used other refund tools like this. However, I can tell you in the first 7 days, they scrubbed the back end of my Amazon account going back 18 months and found $5,000 of refunds. And the nice thing about this is, it's my money. Amazon made a mistake, and they are just auditing my account. The other thing I really like about this tool is there is no monthly fee. They only charge a commission if they are successful in getting you your money. Go to Getida.com, G-E-T-I-D-A, and enter promo code FTM for Firing the Man, FTM400. This is an awesome tool. Can't say enough good things about it. Now, back to the episode. What are some types of packaging you would encourage people to stay away from? Like, if they have never really entered this world, what would you encourage them to stay away from?
I would encourage them to stay away from a product or a packaging that hasn't been tested thoroughly. One of the things I recommend that my customers do when they're testing out a new packaging, corrugated packaging from us, is to ship it to the West Coast from Missouri. And people say, well, I'd rather ship it to the East Coast because that's closer. Well, my life experience has taught me that if you ship an item as a test to California, you're shipping it 2,000 miles away from Missouri. You're shipping it through the mountains. You're shipping it through jarring truck trips and everything else. And it really helps. So I'm not answering your question specifically, but what I am saying is test to make sure that your product gets to the consumer. But by testing and sending it to a friend on the West Coast and having them send it back, you have really put that package through the ringer, and you're really saying to somebody, you know what, this can probably make it from point A to point B. The flip side of not testing your packaging and making sure that your corrugated packaging, your other packaging isn't right, is that you're going to have costly returns, and that could probably ding you in a couple of different ways, not only with Amazon or whoever, but with your end customer saying, why couldn't they ship that product to me in better packaging and have it last? And so I think that it's so, and the cost of return authorizations and all that stuff really adds up. And for somebody just getting started in the business world, those dings against you, not only image-wise, but cost-wise, could probably sink your ship.
If you want tips and strategies on how to start, grow, and monetize your business online, check out the Digital Revolution podcast with Eli Adams. We interview digital experts from around the world that share their personal stories. They talk about what they're currently working on and where they see the future going. But most importantly, they share tactics in their specific area of expertise with the hope of helping you improve your digital presence online. You can listen to the Digital Revolution podcast on YouTube, Spotify, Apple, iHeartRadio, or simply click on the link in the show notes below.
Absolutely. Absolutely. One thing that you did that I really liked was you brought out the mock-ups of the actual sized boxes. And we actually went through a couple different size boxes. And we started with one that was a little bit oversized. And what we found was that we could shrink it down a little bit, not cramming the product in there, but kind of change the shape of that box. And we were able, that little change, we were able to go from 36 units per carton to 48 and a little over 300 extra products per pallet just by modifying the shape of that box. And had we just been communicating through email, had I not had that physical box, I don't think we could have actually tested that, like actually taken the product and put it in the box. And I know that seems simple, but I think that's something that in terms of efficiency, your customer is not getting any better product because you're paying more for shipping. You might as well be as efficient as you can. And that was something that I really liked. And I like that we were able to go through a couple iterations of that and then find something that fit all of our products and was like the optimal size. So yeah, no, I think that these are all really good points of feedback. So turning the corner, everyone loves a good story. Can you provide an example of a time that you have worked with a company and they have seen tremendous growth and benefit from their packaging?
I'd be happy to. There's a couple of examples I'd like to share with you. One is kind of a more of a local to Erie story. The other one is more of a national scale. The first one was a customer that found us, and this is kind of a funny story. They walked out the door of their business in the St. Louis area. They saw a Shillington box truck drive by, and they had been looking for a packaging manufacturer, and they called us up. I came out to see them, and it started off with like two or three boxes, brown boxes, and we were doing in those early years probably a couple $1,000s worth of business a year, pretty small amount of business, and I didn't really know where that was headed, but the customer's name is Diode Dynamics, and they make LED lights for the aftermarket and for automobiles and trucks and things like that. And over the years in working with Diode Dynamics, they grew from essentially, the business started out working out of somebody's garage. And then when I knew them, they were working in a small kind of cram building. And then since then, they have invested in a $10 million location. And what started off as a couple thousand a year worth of sales is now pushing almost $200,000 worth of corrugated sales. And we have covered it from a brown box, litho-laminated boxes, flood-coated boxes. When I talk about flood-coat boxes, what I'm talking about is that it's all black except for their logo, Diode Dynamics. And so it provides a means of an upscale box without really building too much in the way of cost into it, but it makes for a nice box. And everything that Diode Dynamics orders from is branded with their logo on there. They've invested over the years in print plates in the right box, and we test and test again to make sure that we do that. So basically from 3,000 to 200,000 a year is a success story, and is built upon relationships, is built upon them calling me up at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, say, we have a new box. Can you come out? And I'll divert my route or come by there on my way home and show up there at 4 o'clock in the afternoon to find out what they need. And so it is really just about customer service. It's really just about listening, paying attention, and being willing to test and get the right product to them. So that's a local one. On a more national scale, we as a company manufacture corrugated wine carriers for the industry. And we started small years ago with some local retailers. And as the years have gone by, we found new contacts and we started very small. We probably started off with about an order for 2,000 or 3,000 wine carriers that would last them for months. And they tested and they figured it out that it was good for their business, for the liquor business. And now that 2,000 box run has now escalated to where they're ordering twice a year, about 140,000 wine carriers a year. And they found that the corrugated wine carriers help their business because people are incentivized to fill up a carrier of 6 bottles, whether it be wine or liquor or whatever the case might be. And they find that it works. And to say that there was some questioning at the beginning, some, I don't know about this kind of thing. We just kept inching up the store count of stores that was using wine carriers, and it really has just grown phenomenally. And so as a company now, we have been very successful, and we're, for a variety of customers, manufacturing well over 1 million carriers a year for related carriers, or I'm sorry, related retailers in the industry. And so it sometimes starts small, but the right packaging, and I think to David's point earlier, the right packaging helps sell, and it becomes like the store's salesman or the store's sales rep every day out in the store. You don't have to be hawking it yourself. You can let good packaging sell for you.
Absolutely. Those are two really good stories. I like that you were able to see that light manufacturer go from the garage to that $10 million facility. And I bet it was fun to kind of track that growth. And it's funny, the Deerbergs, for any of our customers that are unfamiliar with, think of like a 6-pack carrier, is, and maybe these are all over, but as you were talking about that, I was thinking to myself, when our family buys wine, we always buy 6 at a time. And that it hasn't always been that way, but you get that, you place that in your cart, and it just seems natural to fill it up. In fact, it's unbalanced if you don't fill it up with 6. And we always talk about on the show increasing cart value. And previously, before they had those wine carriers, we were probably only buying 2 bottles at a time or 1 bottle at a time, but we always grab that and we're buying 6 at a time. And Deerbergs they have increased our average cart value. And that's really neat. So let's talk about Shillington Box. What type of company is this?
Shillington Box is a local manufacturer in the St. Louis area that's been around about 110 years. Interesting story on our beginnings. We started making boxes, wooden crates, and so that was kind of where we all got started. We migrated over time to making boxes, corrugated boxes, and so we had local ownership for the first 100 plus years or so, and then we were bought out by the Royal Group. And the Royal Group is a group of box manufacturers, mills, etc., that encompasses from coast to coast with mainly a focus on the eastern half of the United States. So we became part of a larger group who's offered us new buying power, new capabilities. And so now I have customers literally in Florida, Georgia, California, and kind of all over the Midwest. And so it's been fun to sell kind of a more of a national, broader perspective than we ever had before.
Absolutely. So if someone is listening to the show and say they do live in California, it would be possible to work with you on developing packaging. Is that right?
It would be possible. I will tell you, after David and my experience, local is best, but it's not impossible. We're not afraid to put samples in the mail, UPS, and to make sure that it's the right item. But I far and away prefer the local perspective. But as I said, we have customers across the country and we'll do whatever it takes to make it work.
Well, very good. Very good. So at the time of this release, our listeners should be getting ready for Q4 for that busy December season. And this would be the perfect time to think about, am I ready from a packaging standpoint for this busy season? And this would be a good time to get in touch with Tom. We will post links to his contact info as well as shillingtonbox.com in the show notes. But Tom, this has been a great podcast. Let's turn the corner and go into the fire round. You ready? Ready to go for the fire round?
I am ready to go.
All right. So what is your favorite book?
My favorite book is a book called Hearts in Atlantis. It's a Stephen King book. It's a very unusual book for Stephen King, but I love books about like time travel, about, you know, time warps and things like that. And so that is my favorite book, Hearts in Atlantis.
Very nice. I'm going to have to add that one to my reading list. What are your hobbies?
My hobbies are I love to read, and my wife and I love to travel. And we've traveled over the last few years to domestically with friends to explore in kind of a deep level places like Memphis, Nashville, places within about a 6 or 8, 9 hour drive. And then we have taken our share of cruises, and I'm proud to say that I have been in about 35 out of the 50 states, and my goal is to hit all 50.
Awesome. Awesome. And our final question, what do you think sets apart successful entrepreneurs from those who give up, fail, or never get started?
That's a good, deep question, David,
yeah.
And I'll do my best. I don't know if I can rise to the level of that or not, but I'll try. What I've noticed is that winners in e-commerce are the people that do the complete job. They have done the market studies. They've done the business plans. They do the packaging. And probably most importantly, where I see people fail at, number one, is that you can have a great idea, but if you don't sell it, it will never be anything more than a good idea. I can count on 2 or 3 hands the number of people that bought boxes from me, literally never reordered from me, and more to the point, never ended up selling more than maybe 5 or 10% of the boxes or the contents that went into the boxes of what they ordered, and it just all went down in flames. And so I would encourage everybody to realize that everybody has a customer. You have to sell your end customer, and you can't depend on Amazon to sell it for you. You have to create your own market. You have to create your own customers, and you have to find a value and a use for that item. And you have to not only just find a value and a use, you have to have people out there realize that it is a value and a use for them, and they need to create a customer base for it. Otherwise, somebody's going to be sitting on a empty checking account, a warehouse full of goods and brown boxes that they bought with great intentions and never used. So I find the real difference is that you have to execute on so many levels, but you have to be willing to sell your product.
Yeah, so that was an excellent answer. Excellent answer. Very well-rounded and touched on a lot of really good points there. So Tom, if to our listeners, if they would like to work with you in Shillington Box, what would be the best way to get a hold of you?
Best way to get a hold of me would be to email me at tmeyer@shillingtonbox.com. And that's T-M-E-Y-E-R at shillingtonbox.com. shillingtonbox.com. Or go to our website, shillingtonbox.com.
Very nice. And to anyone driving, don't worry about it. We'll post links to that in the show notes. Tom, it has been an absolute pleasure to get to know you, to work with you, and now to have you as a guest on our podcast. So thank you.
Thank you, David. And I have to say to our listeners that David has just been the El Primo type of customer that I like. He listened. He welcomed me to his building. We talked. We did all the things in a lockstep fashion, and we went from concept or idea to execution to order, and it didn't drag out over months and months. And we both knew what we wanted, and that was very helpful. And so when I think of good customers and I think of people that I want to do much more business with, it's somebody like David.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that. Well, thanks everyone for tuning in this week, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you everyone for tuning in to today's Firing the Man podcast. If you like this episode, head on over to firingtheman.com and check out our resource library for exclusive Firing the Man discounts on popular e-commerce subscription services. That is firingtheman.com/resource. You can also find a comprehensive library of over 50 books that Ken and I have read in the last few years that have made a meaningful impact on our business. For that, head on over to www.firingtheman.com/library. Lastly, check us out on social media at Firing the Man and on YouTube at Firing the Man for exclusive content. This is David Schomer
and Ken Wilson.
We're out. Before you go, we wanted to share a new service that Ken and I have been using called Getida that has made us over $10,000 in Amazon reimbursements. The service requires no monthly subscription, and Getida collects a small percentage of the money they recover for you. It takes less than 5 minutes to set up and works on all Amazon marketplaces. Go to Getida.com, G-E-T-I-D-A.com, and enter promo code FTM400. That's FTM for Firing the Man 400 to get your first $400 in reimbursements commission free. How much money does Amazon owe you?